All right, so I'm beginning on Ayin Amud Beis, 70b, two lines from the bottom. So it says, Kiddush Adabar Aglav. So if you remember, we said in the Avodah, in the Beis Mikdash, there's five changes of clothes for the Kohen Gadol. Everybody with me? He starts off on Yom Kippur with the big day Zahav, the golden clothes. Then he does the Korban Tamid. Then he changes to the big day Abad. He changes to the linen clothes. He does the Parv, the Seir. He does the sprinkling of the blood. Then he changes it back to the big day Zahav. Then at that point he brings Elo ve'Elam. He brings his ram and the ram of the people. It's the two korbanot olot. Then he switches over to the big day Lavan again. Then he takes out the kaf and the mahta. He takes out the ladle and the pan from the kodesh kadashim. Then he changes back to big day Zahav and he brings the tamid shel ben arbayim. And according to number of tanaim, he also brings the korban musaf at that point in time. Okay, everybody got it. So the gemara is going to say that the sequence of the psukim is correct, but at some point in time it doesn't seem to be correct what's in the Chumash. So the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom, it says Kidesh Adav Raglav, that he Kidesh Adav Raglav, he washed his hands and his feet, and then he was Tovel, and he changed his garments. So Tan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Uva Aaron al Ol Moed, the Aaron will come to Ol Moed. It means he'll go back with the big day Abad to do a voda in the Ol Moed into the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim. Lama Huba, why is he re-entering the Kodesh? Lahutzira Kafi Ramata, in order to remove the ladle and the pan, and the pan with the coals that he had placed there before with the Ketoret. So we're on the top line in Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Shekula Parsha Kula Nimra Al HaSeder, the whole Parsha in Chumash, it helps to have the Chumash with this, if you want, I'll give you the Chumash. So, Shekula Parsha Kula Nimra Al HaSeder, the whole Parsha is in chronological order. He says, Chutz mi Pasuk Zeh, except for this one Pasuk that we just read, and which says, Uvaro Nal Ol Moed. Let me get the Pasuk out. So it's in page 642 in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. So it's back in the Gemara. He says, so my time, why is we said that's not in the correct order? So Amar Rav Chista Gemiri. So Rav Chista says we have Mesorah that Chamesh Tfilot Vasar Kiddushin Tovel Kohen Gadol Mekadosh Bo Bayom, that the Kohen Gadol he's Tovel five times and he washes his hands and his feet 5-10 times. He says, "Vi amri kisidran ktivei." And if you say everything is kisidran, in other words, if you look at the psukim in the Chumash, it conflates the two avodas p'nim. Again, before you walked in, he does big day zahav, then big day lavan, then big day zahav, then big day lavan, then big day zahav. So the big day lavan, he does the parvus seir, well, that and the sprinkling of the blood. Then he goes out and he does elo ve'el ha'am. He brings those two, the korbanot olot from himself and from the people, and he goes back with the big day bad. But if I read it the way it is in Chumash, it sounds like all the big day lavan work is all together. So he says, "V'yamri kisidran ktivei lo mishkach lo el shlosh tvilot v'shisha kiddushin." So if I would understand it the way the psukim are written, so I only end up with 3 tvilot and 6 kiddushin. In other words, after each avoda, he's got to wash his hands and his feet and be tovel and wash his hands and feet. But if I do it the way the psukim are, it just comes out there would be 3 changes of clothes. Okay, so that's why we say, so it's not in consecutive order. And the Mishnah said already that the correct order, you did yesterday. So, 5 lines from the top. Matkevla Reb Zera. So Reb Zera asks a strong question. Maybe, in other words, you assume that what he's going to interrupt, in other words, the vote is going to go on, he's going to interrupt in the sequence of the psukim by bringing Elo ve'el ha'am. He's going to bring, in other words, if you look in the Chumash, if you take the Chumash out, it helps, but it's on page 642, so it says, Varon Ol Moed, and then he'll come to Ol Moed, and then afterwards it says, it says in the next pasuk, "V'yatzar v'yasar ola tov yolod ha'am." He'll bring his ola and the ola ha'am. So the Gemara says that ola, the ola ha'am, that actually comes before pasuk chav gimel. In other words, so the events that are described in pasuk chav dalid come before pasuk chav gimel. So the Gemara says So Reb Zera says v'dilma ma'asik le'basir na'asabachutz. Maybe he interrupts it with sir na'asabachutz in Parshat Pinchas. It mentions the different musafim, the musaf that's brought in Yom Kippur, and included in the musaf is the seir, you know, for a chatat. Maybe he interrupts it with that seir. So Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, v'yasa v'yasad olato. He says he'll leave and make olato. He says, "Miyatsir Rishona Avid Elo Ve'El Ha'am." In other words, the psukim viyatsa, he'll leave and he'll do it. Sounds like after his first exit, that's when he does it. So in the pasuk, it says four lines from the bottom on page 642, viyatsa viyasa olatobi olaam. That implies from his first exit, he's going to do his ola on the ola liam. Okay, so that's the first answer the Gemara has to explain why we think the psukim are not in chronological order. Rava Amar, Amar Kra, Ufashad B'diabad. So Rava focuses on a different part of the Pasuk. Again, in Pasuk Hafkimel, verse 23, it says, Ufashad B'diabad, Ashadabash B'wil HaKodesh V'nicham Sham. He'll take off the big Diabad. So the way we understand the psukim, he's wearing the big Diabad, he's going to do Avoda, and then after the Avoda's done... he'll take over the Bidei Abad and leave it in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Amar Krav HaShad Bidei Abad, Shein Tamal Lomar Shalavash. The Torah doesn't say that he wore. He says, Klum Adam Poshed Elamar Shalavash. Does a person take off? Obviously, if you're taking it off, you're wearing it. Elamar Tamal Lomar Shalavash. What does it say? Ashalavash. That he wore Shalavash Kavar. It means that he had worn it previously. In other words, there had been like a different period of time. He had worn the Big Day Abad, taken it off, and now he had worn, and now he's going to take off the Big Day Abad that he had worn previously. That's what he's saying. So Matkif La Rabbah Rav Shila. So Rabbah Rav Shila asks the question, Ve'ema Demafsik Le, same questions we had before. Ve'ema Demafsik Le B'sir Na'asa B'chutz. Why can we say that he interrupts the avoda with the sir na'aseh b'chutz, which is one of the korbanot mentioned in Parshat Pinchas? So the Gemara says haktiv v'yatsa v'yasa. So it says v'yatsa v'yasa. Okay, let me just pause for 1 second, and then we'll finish up this section, and hopefully we'll be good. I'm just repeating myself, but the main thing the Torah is saying, what the Gemara is saying, is that the psukim in Parshat Acharimot up until Pasuk Chaf Gimel are in chronological order. It's describing the avoda on Yom Kippur in chronological order. When it gets to Pasuk Chaf Gimel, that's not in chronological order. Because Pasuk Chaf Gimel says that he'll go to Ohel Moed and then Parshat Bigdei Abad, but it implies that it's still part of the original Bigdei Abad wearing. And in between, there is avoda that he's doing. He's being Elo Ve'El Ha'am. And the Gemara brought different proofs to, that would be the case. Because one is that we have Mesora, that the Kohen Gadol has to be Tovo 5 times, and it would only make sense if there's avoda in between. And then so I'm going to go on. Okay, everybody good? Okay, so let me see if I can get anything with this. I haven't been able to get the people on the internet. I can't get internet connection with this today. Let me see if anything happens with this. All right, this thing is on the this thing is on the fritz. They have internet connection, but this thing, I just can't get it. All right, let's. I don't know. Anyway,
settings.
All right, let me go on now. Now, two lines above where it gets wide. V'chol parsha kula nemra la seder. So you want to say that the whole parsha is in chronological order, but there are psukim that say, now the Gemara is going to prove from these psukim that not everything is in chronological order. So if you look in the Chumash again, on the bottom line, or the 3 lines from the bottom, on page 642, it says, that he's going to bring the chelev of the chatat on the outer of the Mizbeach. And then let's see back in the Gemara. He says, "Ve'eid chelav chatat yetir mizbecha, v'hadar." First white line, "Viparach chatat yetir chatat." And then the par, according to the chronology that's in the pesukim, the chelav of the chatat is burning on the outer mizbeach. The chelav chatat is offered on the outer mizbeach. And then it says, "Viparach chatat yetir chatat." Now this is talking about the chataot pnimiot, the par of the seir that he brought already, and the animals, the carcass of the animals, going to be burnt outside of Yerushalayim. But we learned in the Mishnah on the second line, Haroe Kohen Gadol Shu Kore in a Parvasir and Israfim. If you see the Kohen Gadol when he's laning, you don't see the Parvasir burning. But the Emurim, the Chatat, in the Seder of the Avodah, it's in the Mishnayot, he offers after that. So again, in the Chumash, it says, Chedav Chatat Ketir Mizbecha. If I read the Psukim, offer the Chedav Chatat on the Mizbeach. Then it says, take the par of the Seir and burn them outside of Yerushalayim. But in the Mishnah, it doesn't come out that way. Because the Mishnah, the Chedav Chatat is being burnt afterwards. He says, so the Gemara says on the third white line, Eim Echutz Mipasuk Zeh Ve'elach. So the Gemara says, we have to qualify what we said before. We said everything's chronological order, except for Pasuk Gimel, but it means from Pasuk Chav Gimel going forward, it's not in chronological order at that point in time. That's what the Gemara is saying. Alright. Now the Gemara says, Umai Chazit Meshavesh Kroi. So why did you, in other words, I have a stira between the Mishnayot and the Psukim. So why did you think that the Psukim are not in, like you'll say the Psukim aren't in chronological order? Shabesh Manita, maybe the order that's given in the Mishnah isn't so correct. So Amar Abaye, Amar Kro, Vamishaleach Vahasoreif. So in the Psukim it says, let's go back. If you look in Pasuk Chaf Vav, it says Vahamishaleich Raseir La Azazel, the one who sends the seir, the goat for Azazel. Now it mentioned earlier, it says earlier Vishilach Biarishi Tiamidbara, like on 9:6, and then it says where is it? And then on Pasuk Chaf Chet on page 644 and line 3, Vahasareifotam, the one who burns it. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar by Amar Krav, Mishleich Vasareif, Ma Mishleich Dmeikara. Just like the Mishleich that took place earlier, it's clearly not in chronological order. It means that it had already been sent off. Af Soreif Dmeikara. So too, this is, in other words, he's going to construe the Psukim in a similar fashion. Just like I know, Bahamishaleach is not at that point in time, it's Mishaleach, because the Torah already said he'll send it out earlier, five Psukim earlier. So too, Bahasoreif, it was already burnt previously. It was already burnt previously. He says, Adrabah, Masoreif Dahashta, Mishleach Dahashta. Why don't I say just the opposite? Just like maybe it's burning now, it's so Mishleach now. So, Vahamishleach to me, Karamashra. No, it's incontrovertible that he sent it off already. So, Mamela. So Mela, if he sent it already off earlier, so Mela, then it had already been burnt earlier. Okay? So it means that the Pasuk, the Echidu Chatai, Yathir Mizbecha, that's taking place after the animals have been burnt. Okay? Now, now on line 6. Rava Amar, Amar Kra, Ya'umad Chai. Rava says the Pasuk is by the Azazel that it should stand living. Amatai he's a kuk lamod chai. How long must it stand there? At shat kapara, until the shat kapara. Ve'imatai shat kapara b'shat ma'atandami matulo. It just has to stand there until the blood is applied, and not anything afterwards. Okay, give me 1 second with this. I just want to check one thing, and then I'll be with you. 1 second. We're on Ayin Aleph 71A. Five lines from the bottom.
A3.
1 second. 1 second. Yeah. Yeah. So he's just proving that the Azazel had been sent off the cliff previously, because Yamar Chai, it only has to stand around in the Beis HaMikdash up until the time of Matan Tamim. Okay, that's that piece. All right, I'm going to move on. We're on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. So we're around 10 lines from the bottom. All right? So the Gemara says, Ati Mishaleach, the day after Yom Kippur, the Mishaleach, the one who sent the Seir, La Azazel, threw it off the cliff, Umitzaol B'shuk L'Kohen Gadol. If he encounters the Kohen Gadol in the Shuk in the marketplace, Omer lo, he says to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, like my Lord Kohen Gadol, Asinu Shlichutcha. We perform your Shlichus. He says, Mitzao beveito, if he encounters the Kohen Gadol in his house, Omer lo, Mechai Chayim Asinu Shlichuto. Here he addresses himself to Akash Baruch Hu, and he says that, Akash Baruch Hu, we've done your Shlichus. I guess in the marketplace it's not appropriate to talk that way. Let me just see what he says over here. 1 second. Yeah. So he says that when he encounters him in the street, he like tries to give like a sort of like praise to the Kohen Gadol, like in other words, in front of other people. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Kimiftiri Rabbanan Mehadade, when the Chachamim would take leave of one another, Bapum Padita Amri Hachi, they would say as follows, Mechaye Chayim, the one who gives life, Yitein Lecha Chayim Aruchim Etovim Utukanim. He'll give you like a long life and everything should be good. In other words, he's just connecting it because we use the term Mechaye Chayim. Okay, now the Gemara quotes different Pesukim. At Aleph of Hashem Bar Tzod Chaim, which is a pasuk that we say in Hallel, I walk before Hashem Bar Tzod Chaim. Bar Tzod Chaim is the name of a sefer by the Malbim. He says, Amar of Yehuda Zemakom Shvachim. So, what's Bar Tzod Chaim? Land the living. So Rav Yehuda says it's the place where there's marketplaces. So Rashi says it means like if you're out in like the Midbar, I think. Right? He says, where is it? Yeah. He says David was wandering around. In other words, like he was in lots of places where they didn't have stores, didn't have this, had the other. So now he says, so David HaMelech says that Aleph HaShem Ba'aretz Chaim, Aretz Chaim, land living, is the place where there's marketplaces. And then the Gemara quotes another pasuk: Ki Orech Yamim Ushon Chaim B'Shalom Yosifu Lecha. They'll give you lengthening of days and years of life, and Shalom will add to you. Are the lives that are of living and lives that aren't of living? It means the person's alive. I'm going to give you, you know, length of days and years. But why is some called? Why does it say shnot chayim, living years? So Amr Blazar, a person's years of life. Let's say he was poor and then he became wealthy. That's going like from mita to living. So he's saying. Shalim shel chayim, years of life. It means like if you went from poverty to wealth. So that's like coming to chayim. Okay, now aleichem. Now the Gemara quotes another pasuk. This pasuk is a couple of prakim later on in Mishlei, and one of the mafarshim wants to say that maybe the earlier pasuk should have also been a later pasuk. But aleichem ishim ekra, to you ishim I call out. Now ishim usually say anashim. Here it says ishim, plural. So amr brechya. So Brechia says Ishim refers to Talmud de Chachamim that are similar to women. In other words, they're more physically weak and they're not aggressive. So they're more similar to women. So they're called Ishim. In other words, not Anashim. They're called Ishim. But Osin Gvura ka Anashim. But they demonstrate Gvura like men. In other words, maybe the way they overcome the Yetzirah. They're Anashim. But Amar Reb Brechia Harotz Lanasech Yain Al Gabim Is Beach. If a person wants to pour a wine libation on the altar, but there's no Beis Hamikdash, so what can he do instead? Yimalei Gronam Shal Tamidei Chachamim Yayin. He should give wine to the Tamidei Chachamim. He says Shenemar Aleichem Yishim Ekra. He says to you Yishim Ekra. He says, one second. Yeah, so Ishim we said was Tamid Chachamim, but Ishim sounds like Isha, like a burnt offering. So it's Aleichem Ishim means the Tamid Chacham is himself like I guess the Mizbeach, whatever, you give it to him so that it's like the white libation on the Mizbeach. Two lines from the bottom, but Amar Brechia in Roedam Shetorah Posekat Mizaro, if a person sees that Torah is ceasing from his progeny, Yisaba Tamin Chacham. He should marry the daughter of a Tamin Chacham. So the one way to explain it is like this. He sees his kids are going off the Derech HaTorah, so he should marry another wife who's the daughter of a Tamin Chacham. That's one way to understand it. Or the other pshat is, he sees his son is going off the Derech HaTorah, he should marry the son to the daughter of a Tamin Chacham. He says, Shenemar, Im Yaskin Ba'aretz Sharasho, if its root will age in land, Uva Afar Yamut Gizo, and the trunk will die in the dirt. He says, so turn page, top line on Ein Aleph and Beis, Mereach Mayim Yafriach, but from the aroma of water it'll blossom forth, and Mayim is always code for like Torah. He says, Osek Katsir Kmoneta, and it'll come forth with like harvest, like it'll with fruit. Okay, so let me just see if I could get this thing on the with the an internet connection here. Not happening. All right, let me go on. So the Gemara says, "V'yom tovayav selo avav." So the Gemara says, when the Kohen Gadol would finish the avoda, that means after Yom Kippur, he would make a yantiv for his friends. Let's take a look back in the Mishnah for a second. He says, "V'yom tovayav selo ava b'shashe etzav b'shalom in haKodesh." They would make a yantiv for his friends that he had been able to leave the Kodesh successfully. So the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanan ma'aseh b'kohen gadol chad shetzam b'ein haMikdash." It was an incident with one kohen gadol who left the base of Mikdash on a Yom Kippur. So, I don't know, Rabbi Packer thought this was after Yom Kippur. Bahavu azli kuli amu batrei. So everybody's following the Kohen Gadol. Came at the chazyunhu, the Shmai Bavtalion, and they saw Shmai Bavtalion. Shmai Bavtalion were the two Tanayim, like they had zugot, pairs of Tamidei Chachamim. So last, there are five zugot. So Hillel v'Shammai, the last pair, Shmai Bavtalion were their teachers, the fourth pair. So this is like around 100 BCE. So he says, came at the chazyunhu, the Shmai Bavtalion, shavkuli. They left the Kohen Gadol, Basli Batar Shmai Bavtalion. They flocked behind Shmai Bavtalion. So the Sof Atu Shmai Bavtalion left to remain the Kohen Gadol. Eventually, Shmai Bavtalion took leave of the Kohen Gadol. Amar Lahen, so the Kohen Gadol said to them, Yetun B'nei Amamin L'Shlam, let the progeny of the Gentiles go to Shalom. Shmai Bavtalion were descendants of Sancheriv, Rashi brings down. Sancheriv was the king of Ashur, so they were descendants of Sancheriv. In fact, the Gemara in Gittin, I think, mentions that. He mentions Gittin here, yeah. So the Gemara in Gittin, so they were descendants of Sancheriv, means they came from Gerim. So he says, Yetun b'neyam in l'shlam, let the sons of Gentiles, you know, go l'shalom. Amrulei, they said to him, Yetun b'neyam in l'shlam, he says, let the sons of Gentiles go l'shalom, the avdin ovad the Aharon, that they do like Aharon, the road face shalom, the seekers of peace. V'lo yeti bar Aharon l'shlam, the son of Aharon should not go l'shalom, the lavid ovad the Aharon. He doesn't follow in the path of Aharon, his forebear. All right, let's look at Rashi on this. The last wide line in Rashi, and then the first narrow line. The Lord Uvda Daron She Honi Tanu Ona Ad Devarim. In other words, you abused us. You said something very insulting to us, and it does sound very insulting. But Amar Mar, we have a statement above Metzia. Al Tono Ishan Amito. One person should not abuse somebody else. It's a law in the Torah. But not Devar Mektub Deber. The Torah is speaking about saying hurtful things one to another. For example, Imayaben Gerim, if a person was a descendant of converts, Lo Yomar Lo Zechor Maaseh Avotecha. You shouldn't say, remember what your forebears did. And that's in essence what he was saying. He was taking like a knock at them. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Nobody? All right, let's go on. So I'll slow it down a little bit since we have time. Okay, we're in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, 10 lines from the top. Everybody with me in the Mishnah? Everybody here? Everybody focused? Okay. So Manitin, Kohen Gadol Mashamish B'Shvona Kalim. The Kohen Gadol would serve in the base of Mikdash with 8 garments. V'Hedyot B'Arba'a. And the Hedyot, a Kohen Hedyot, wears 4 Begadim. And now here are the 4 Begadim that a Kohen Hedyot wears. Is B'Ketonet. Ketonet is like a tunic, like a shirt, jacket, whatever you want to call it. U'Mechnasayim, pants. U'Mitznefet is the hat, the turban. V'Avneid, and the belt. And he has a very long belt. The belt, I think, is 32 Amot long. So that's 32 Amot is like 48 feet. That's a long belt, right? That's definitely a long belt. In other words, the belt is probably longer than this table, right? From one end of the table to the other. All right, let's see further. Most of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol has begotten in addition to that, Choshen, the breastplate, the ephod is like this apron that he wears, it's connected to the Choshen. U'me'il, me'il is like a, it's almost like tzitzis that go over him, v'tzitz, and he's got like this plate that he wears on his forehead. But elu nishalim be'urim v'tumim, with those begadim, you ask questions of the urim v'tumim. Urim v'tumim we know is like when the, not like, it's when, we'll see in the Gemara that we have the sugi about it this week, the stones on the, or would light up on the choshen and give a message. In other words, it's like somewhere between, you know, less than nevuah. He says, "Ve'ein shalom el melech ul'av beitin." We only pose questions for a melech or the av bezdin, u'lemishat tzibur tzarech bo, or somebody who's the tzibur requires. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on the Mishnah? Everybody good? Okay, I'm going on. All right, so let's take a look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, let me take a look and see if they have any pictures here that help. One second. Let me see at the end. There is the... One second. All right, we do have a little bit. Okay, we do have some pictures that will help a little bit. All right, so let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Devarim Shenemar Bahen Sheish. If the Torah says Sheish, Sheish means linen. If the Torah uses the word Sheish, Chutan Kafol Shisha. So their strings are Kafol Shisha, are comprised of six strands. Okay, so if it says Sheish, the strings have six strands. Okay? He says, Mashzar, if the Torah uses the word Mashzar, Shmona, then in each string has eight strands. Me'il, the me'il, which is the sort of like a type of, you know, I don't know, garment that goes over the Kohen Gadol, Shneimasar, then each string has got 12 strands. Parochet, Esrim V'Yarba'ah, the parochet has 24 strands. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Choshen V'Ephod, Esrim V'Shmona. And if the Choshen and the Ephod, they have 28 strands. So we have quite a number. So we get 6, 8, 12, 24, and 28. Everybody got it? All right, now the Gemara says, Chutan Kaful Shisha Menalan. So the first level is where the strings have six strands in them. Where do we know that the strings have to have six strands in them? So the Amar Kra, by Asura Kotnot Sheish, Bid Mitznefet Sheish, Bid Parea Migbot Sheish, Bid Mitzseabad Sheish Morzar. So it says in Chumash that they made the Kotnot Sheish, they made the tunics out of sheish, meaning out of linen. Via mitznefet sheish, and they made the hat, the turban, out of linen. Via pareya migbaot sheish, so it's also a type of turban sheish. Via mitzseabad sheish marzar, and the pants they made out of sheish marzar, which I think means like twined. How do they translate marzar?
Inches of twined linen.
One second. Yeah, breeches of twined linen. Right, twined. Okay, that's what you were saying. Okay, let's take a look back in the Gemara. So he says, Chamishah Krai Ketiveh. Now, five times in the Pasuk, we mentioned Sheish. So if you look in the Pasuk, it mentions Sheish means linen. So it keeps repeating Sheish, 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 Sheish. Now it mentions it really four times, but then it mentions Bad. Bad is also linen. So if I take the four times it mentions Sheish, and Bad, it mentions it five times in the Pasuk. Obviously, Torah doesn't have to mention five times over and over again. It has to be linen. I can just say everything's of linen. He says, why does it mention it five times? Chad l'gufa, the kitten in the hevu. Once teach me the etzem halacha, that they must be made of linen. V'chad she'chutan kaful shisha. One, to teach me that each thread has to be, you know, with six, you know, or it's, each thread has six strands in it. You have it? In other words, it's like a double entendre. In other words, the word sheish means linen, but it means each thread is going to have six strands in it. Everybody good with this? Okay. Then it says, v'chad shu shezurim. One is that they all have to be twined together. In other words, so if I have the different threads, but then the threads have to be twined together. He says, v'chad l'shar begadim. And one for other begadim, shlo ne'amar b'hen sheish. It doesn't say sheish. The Chad La'akev. Once teach me, that's the Ikuva. If I don't have it, it's not kosher as a beggin. Okay? So, my mashma, the high sheish kitnuhu. How do you know that sheish, mentioned the pasuk, is linen? In other words, it mentions sheish here, but how do we know sheish means linen? So he says, Amar Biosi Rabchanina, the Amar Kro, Bad. The Torah refers to linen as Bad. Bad, we think, is cognated with levad, by itself. He says, davar ha'olam in a karka, bad, bad. Something that comes out of the ground by itself. In other words, it doesn't have branches here and the other. It has stalks of linen. So I assume it's like wheat. In other words, like the stalks come up, and that's the linen. Ve'ema imra, why can't it be wool? Wool also, even though it's on the lamb, but it grows like in a single, like as threads. Imra, if tzuli miftzla. So the wool it splits. In other words, the wool splits from the animal. In other words, the hair split or whatever. So the Gemara says, kitanami of suli mifsil. But the linen also splits. So the Gemara says, kitna agav lukute mifsil. That the linen only splits when you strike it, but the hair splits on its own. So of the pshatim, it makes sense that bad means linen, and mimela, we note that the sheish is the same as the bad. They were both mentioned in the same pasuk. So mimela, we have a proof that sheish means linen. All right? Now, Ravina Amar Mehacha. Ravina says we have a different proof that sheish means linen. He says, now he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. So Yechezkel has a vision of, you know, the Beis HaMikdash in the future and the Kohanim wearing begadim. He says, Pa'arei Pishtim Yu'a Rosham, that they'll wear turbans of Pishtim, of linen. He says, U'mikvasei Pishtim Yu'a Matneim, and they'll wear breeches made or pants made of linen. So we know that in the Torah says Sheish, and the Navi refers to it as linen. So Mela, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other, or they were actually not the same, but that's not a good klal, but in other words, they're the same as one another. So Amalei Ravashi, Hamikami Dati Yechezkel Man Amara. So Ravashi says, before Yechezkel came, because that was a pasuk from Yechezkel, before Yechezkel came, so who said, how did you know that Sheish was linen before Yechezkel showed up? So the Gemara says, L'tameh, according to that Svara, Hadem Rav Chisah, Devar Zeh, Mitor Moshe Rabbeinu L'lamanu, Midibri Yechezkel Ben Buzi L'lamanu, that Rav Chisah says, we don't know this from the following halacha, we don't know from the Torah, we know it from Yechezkel. Kol Ben Nechar Erolev, Erol Basar Lo Yavo Mikdashi, that nobody who's a Ben Nechar means, like, if he's gone off the derech, he's worshipped Avodah Zarah, it sounds like, or he doesn't have, like, a literal circumcision on his flesh, he can't come serve me in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if it's a Kohen who's in one of those categories, he can't serve me. Hamikami Dati Yechezkel Ma'amras. So before Yechezkel showed up, who said this? In other words, Yechezkel has the Pasuk, but how do they know this before Yechezkel? El Gemara Gemiri La. Rather, they had a Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, Ba'ati Yechezkel Ba'asmacha Kra. And Yechezkel came and gave him Pasuk in which they could support the Mesorah. Hakanami, here too, Gemara Gemiri La. They had a Mesorah that Sheish was linen. Sheish is not the typical word used for linen. In other words, Pishtan is linen, and bad used for linen. Sheish is the unusual word. But they had a tradition that sheish was linen. And Yechezkel came and supported from Pasuk. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far? Everybody good? All right, quiet group here tonight. All right, let's see further. Now, okay, so we went through again. So we said that the threads for the linen, each thread has six strands in it. And they're all you know, each thread. Okay? Now, the next category was, we said, if the Torah uses the word mashzar, then we said it means that they have eight strands in each thread. Now, let me see again how he translates mashzar. Mashzar, twined. So, twined is an eightfold thread. Twined, eightfold thread. Let me just take a look here. He's got a picture. Well, anyway, all right. So Marsar is an eightfold thread. Let's see back in the Gemara. So Marsar Shmona Menalan. Where do we know that Marsar means an eightfold thread? Dichtiv by Asuah Shuleha Meil. They made on the corners of the Meil. How does he translate Meil? Let me see what he says for Meil. And they made on the ends of the robe. It looks like a talis katan with a hole in the middle. That's what the me'il is, okay? And at the end, he's got these woolen pomegranate objects, and he's got bells on the end of it, okay? And that's one of the garments of the Kohen Gadol. So let's see back on the Gemara. So they made rimonim pomegranates of three elements: techelet, the blue wool; the argaman wool; and tolat shani, the red wool. Marzar. So, the meal, each thread is a marzar. We're around 10 lines to the bottom on Ayin Aleph on Beis. Okay. So he says, "V'yalif marzar mi parochet." So we're going to learn a gzeirah shava. Gzeirah shava is when I have the same word in two different places, and I have Mesorah to learn one from another, from the parochet. The parochet is the curtain. Malhalan esrim v'arba'a. Just like by the parochet, there were 24 strands. Now, the 24 strands by the parochet the parochet is made of four different minim, and each min was kafol sheish. So I have four different minim in the parochet, which is tchela v'argman mitulashni and sheish. In other words, I have the three different types of wool and the linen. That's in the parochet. So I have four different elements, and each element had six strands in each element. So 4 times 6 is 24 strands. B'sach HaKol, I have 24 strands in the parochet. So here he says he's learning Gzir Shav from the parochet. So here I only have 3 elements in the Me'il, right? In the Me'il, I only have Tchelet Argaman and Tulat Shani, the 3 types of wool. So he says, so Malahala Nisrim B'Arba, Avkan Nisrim B'Arba. So the Dahava Kulchavakad Tamane. So each one would be 8. In other words, to come to a total conclusion of 24 strands. In other words, parochet, I have 24 strands b'sach hakol, because I have 4 different elements. Each element is 6 strands, and then when I twine them all together, I end up with 24 strands. That's the parochet. So the me'il, I only have 3 elements. So I'm going to learn that also I need 24 strands from the 3 elements, so each element would have 8 strands. Okay, so that's how we think we're going to learn about the 8 strands. So the Gemara says, "V'neilach mechoshen ve'efod." So why can't we learn the Gzir Shava from the choshen and the efod? Malahalan is shrimushmona. Over there, there's 28 strands. Afkan is shrimushmona. So to here by the meal should be 28. So we had a limud 24, divided by 3 was 8. So that's our conclusion. But maybe we should learn it from the choshen and the efod that have 28 strands. So here too would be 28 strands. So the Gemara is going to ask, how would I divide 28 strands into 3 different elements? But we'll see. So the Gemara says, "Dan in davar shlo ne'amar bo zahav, mi davar shlo ne'amar bo zahav." It makes more sense, the Gemara says, that I learn an object, i.e., the me'il, from something that doesn't have gold in it. The me'il doesn't have gold in it, and the parochet doesn't have gold in it. La puki choshen ve'efo shne'amar behen zahav. As opposed to the choshen ve'efo, they do have gold in them. So the Gemara says, "Adraba pumfaker." Danim beged mi beged, it makes more sense that we should learn one beged from another beged. La puki parochet to oelhu. The parochet is really part of an oel, so it's totally different. So we're running into problems with our gzeir shava. So again, we're trying to learn how we know that mashzar means 8 strands, and the me'il we know is mashzar, but how do we know that it's 8 strands? Elo, the first wide line, elo danin me avnate. We can learn it out from the avnate. The avnate is the belt of the Kohen Gadol that's shatnez during the year. He says, so now the belt has also 4 minim, and each one has 6 strands. So again, the belt is shatnez. It's got 3 types of wool and the 1 type of linen. Each element is kaful shisha, is 6 strands. So 4 elements, each element with 6 strands, I end up with 24 strands. So I'll learn 24 strands from the avnate to the me'il, but the me'il only has 3 elements. So 24 strands with 3 elements, each element is 8 strands. Okay? So the Gemara says, v'danin beged, v'dabar shlo ne'amar bo zahav. So we'll learn out a garment, i.e. the me'il, and something doesn't have gold in it, the me'il, mi beged, v'dabar shlo ne'amar bo zahav. I'm learning out from another beged, which is the avnate, the belt. Mi davar shlo ne'amar bo zahav, ein dan davar she'ein bo zahav, mi davar sheish bo zahav. I'm not going to learn this from the choshen and the ephod. All right. Now, Rav Mari amar ta'asenu k'tiv. Rav Mari says, by the choshen, now before we were thinking we should learn it out from the choshen, so Rav Mari gives another reason why we can't learn it out from the choshen. Ramari Amar, again, the Choshen and the Ephod had 28. It wouldn't have worked out too well, but he says, Ramari Amar, Ta'asenu K'tiv, Ta'asenu, you should make it, Ta'asenu L'zeb L'ol Acher, it's a Miyat. Only this has got the 28. He says, Rav Ashi Amar, V'yasit K'tiv. Rav Ashi says, it says, by the Rimonim on the Me'il, the pomegranates at the end of the Me'il, so it says, V'asita, Sheyukol Asiyot Shavot, that everything, all the minim should be the same. I mean, there should be the equivalent number of strands in each min. Behechi na'avid. So what will we do? In other words, Lu Yatsur, the question is, where should I learn the Me'il from? Should I learn the Me'il from the Choshen and the Eifod? The Choshen and the Eifod is 28 strands, because it's four elements, not four elements. It's 28 strands because, how do we get 28 strands again? The Choshen and the Eifod. One second. Where is it? Anyway, but the Choshen and the Eifod has got 28 strands. So the 28 strands, so if I switch that over to an object with three elements, Navi Tlata da Asara Sara, if I do three elements, each one with 10 strands, Havru Tlatin is 30. Navi Trade the Tisha Tisha, if I make two elements, each one with 9, Bechada Asara, and one with 10, Amar Krav Asita Shkol Sutav Shavot. Anyway, the bottom line is, it doesn't make sense that we know the Gemara is saying we can't learn it out from the Choshen and the Eifod. Okay.
Why? How does he make that?
Yeah, so that was the limit from the Pasuk. Yeah, so he's learning it out from the Pasuk. The Pasuk said, Va'asita. Va'asita. He says, yeah, so the Gemara learns that Va'asita implies that all the elements should be the same. That's what you're asking on.
I'm asking on the fact that they mentioned three components, why does that in some fact of
No,
the Pasuk says Shavot, they have to be equal.
Well, that's the Gemara's drasha. It says
Va'asita. No,
no, no. In the Torah, it says Va'asita. In other words, you should make the Me'il, Va'asita, and it has three elements, Va'asita.
Yes.
So the Gemara darshans, the word Va'asita means, you call Asiyot Shavot, that all the elements should be equal in it.
Right.
So if it means that all, each element should be stranded the same number of strands. That's where the Gemara understands it. And what's the question?
What I'm trying to understand is how do they make that inference?
Yeah, so that
there's nothing explicit that says equal. Rashi just makes that.
It's a new way forward.
That presumption.
Khalil Tachema. Vasita Shulam. Yeah, I think I need to look at a different sefer to really answer your question, but I assume what the Gemara intends is, it says Va'asita is like, you should make it, you make it. And it says, Rimone Techelet V'argaman V'tulat Shani. So I assume that since Va'asita, in other words, it's the juxtaposition of the three elements with the one word Va'asita.
He's making an inference,
right.
It's not clear what the premise is.
All right. Let me see. All right, let me try a few more lines in the Gemara, and that'll be it for tonight. Okay? Anyway, but the Daniach, the basic idea is that what we did so far, we learned Sheish, we learned that when it says Sheish, it means six strands, like Pshuto Kamashmo, and then if it says Mashzar, that means eight strands. That we got. Okay, now, we mentioned earlier in the Gemara that there are other things with different amounts of strands, and now we're up to the next one. So now, the Gemara says, Me'il, Shneimasar. Now the meal was made out of tchela, was 12 stranded cords. So Manalan, where do we know that from? Dechtiv, v'asita meal haifod, kliel tchela. Now, normally elsewhere the Gemara learns kliel tchela is 100% tchela, but here the Gemara learns, Rashi learns kliel tchela, gedil, v'in gedil pachot mishtayim, like braided tchela. So braided, I've got each thread is going to be braided with another thread. V'yalif t'chelet t'chelet mi paroche. And then I learn Xer Shava t'chelet t'chelet from the paroche. Malahalan shisha, by the paroche, each one had six strands. Here I only have one element, which is t'chelet. But each thread has got six strands. And then each strand has to be braided with another strand. So he says, Malahalan shisha afkan shisha. So I have six and six, I end up with 12. You got that so far or not? Okay. So the Gemara says, V'nelef mi shulav rimonav. So why are you learning the me'il from the paroche? Why don't you learn the me'il, the goop, the essence of the robe, from the edges and the rimonim and the pomegranates at the end? Malahal and shmona. Over there we said that each strand was going to be eight threads, afkan shmona. So the Gemara says, danin kli mikli, makes more sense to learn one kli from another kli, meaning the me'il from the paroche, than danin kli mitachshit. kli. And we don't learn one kli from the adornment of the kli. Adraba danin gufa mi gufa. The Gemara says, no, it makes more sense. I study, I extrapolate one part of the garment from another part of the garment. Din danin gufa mi alma. So the Gemara says, Hainu daminan l'shar begadim shtonim bar behen sheish. So that's what the Gemara says, that we had said in the Braisa, that one, that we had the pasuk that it kept mentioning sheish, sheish, sheish. So one of the mentions of sheish was to teach me for the other begadim that doesn't say sheish, that we also know that it's six, that each thread is six-folded. So in the end, it's coming out, so I have two braided threads with the mi'il. Each thread has got to be six, so six and six is going to be 12. Okay, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Let me see if I have a story, which someone doesn't like, but let's see what's doing. All right, I'll read the story, and then hopefully it'll be it. Okay, now we said, if a person wants to be menaseh yayin al gab mizbeach, today we don't have a mizbeach, but if a person wants to fulfill the mitzvah of nisoch yayin, of wine libation, he should give wine to the talmid chachamim. We said the pasuk says that it refers to them as ishim. So ishim, we said, it's like men that are sort of similar to women. They're a little weaker. They're not like so aggressive, but they have gevura because they have strong tefillot, or they are able to overcome the yetzahara. So he says the great Rameir Arik, the former Avbez then of Butach, once visited the Imre Emes in Vienna. As they discussed various Torah topics, Rav Meir Arik asked a question regarding the subject of our Gemara. If a person desires to offer Nesachim in our days, why does the Gemara mention that it can only be fulfilled by filling the mouths of Torah scholars? Why doesn't the Gemara suggest a more standard solution to satisfy his quest? If he studies the laws of pouring wine on the altar, he received credit for having brought new offerings. We find in Menachot, Kuf Yud, you know, anyone who studies the laws of a Katat Rasham is credited for having brought a Katat Rasham. So why does Gemara say you want to do the mitzvah of Nisach Yayin, give wine to the Tamid Chachamim? Why don't you say, like you're a Kala Osek, you know, and Torah Shlamim is like you brought a Shlamim. So as the question was completed, the Imre Emes immediately responded, the Gemara Menachos does not say it. When he heard this, Rav Meir was so stirred that his face flamed a bright red. As he left the presence of the Imre Emes, he remarked to a student who had accompanied him, what a wonder, I've asked numerous Gedolim this very question, and none of their explanations seemed adequate to me. The Ger Rebbe has given me a straightforward answer. The truth is certainly as he said. Now he's going to explain. In other words, the Gemara over there mentions if you study the Chatas, you study the Asham, doesn't say about the Nesachim. Rav Meir Arik explained, the Gemara Menachot is based on the Pasuk, Zora Torah lo la'alam encha v'la chatat v'la shlamim. We cannot just decide that learning about a thing can substitute for doing it. We must have a pasuk that teaches us the principle. And since the pasuk does not mention the sakam explicitly, it means that in this case, learning does not suffice to substitute for doing it. The Chasam Sofer held that study of the halakot is like bringing the wine offering, but for those unable to do so, there is another way. He can give a scholar wine, which includes all forms of material assistance. The scholar brings the sacrifice through learning, and the donor completes the service with the libation of support. Okay, as the Imre Emes said on another occasion, our Gemara singles out the Nisach HaYayin, because this is a rectification that even the unlearned could do. So the other answer is, the Nisach HaYayin means you're going to like physically support the Talmid Chacham. So study all the halakha, not everybody could do. But if you support the Talmid Chacham, you're in good shape. Okay, I think that's it tonight.